Hello, everyone. This is the AI and L&D Insights podcast. My name is Marcus, and today on the show, I've got a very dear friend and collaborator whom I respect in the highest regard, both professionally as well as privately, Mike Vaughan, the CEO at the Regis Company, and also the chief editor and my collaborator over at The Thinking Effect. So it's a real pleasure to have Mike onto the show today and to discuss with him all aspects around AI and learning, simulations, and how thinking is changing. Mike, welcome to the show.
Marcus, I can't express how excited I am to be with you in a podcast format like this. So looking forward to it.
Fantastic. And then let's dive straight in. I've already mentioned we've got The Thinking Effect and we've got the Regis Company. Let's take them on one at a time and start with your journey at The Thinking Effect and maybe also with where the name comes from and the TED Talk that you've also got in your name.
Well, sure. All right. Well, probably the best place to start was back in the 90s. I actually started out as an AI developer. So that's when it wasn't very popular, but it was pretty exciting because there's, you know, a lot of new things that were already breakthroughs back in the 90s. And that really got me interested in learning, actually, and got me into cognitive neuroscience as well. And so along that path, I guess the first thing you asked about was that TED Talk. That was actually part of my background in neuroscience. So all my research was in an area called mental models. And the whole idea was, how do we become aware of and surface our mental models and explore different ways to be able to replace them with more productive, more modern mental models? And so that led me into an area of research around the power of questions. And so that was actually what my TED Talk was all about, was the types of questions we ask ourselves, the types of questions we ask others, really influence and shape our mental models. And so as my career progressed, both down kind of the learning path and in AI, about a year, a little over a year ago, got to a point where, like everyone else, AI was starting to really be on top of mind of learning professionals. And since I've been following it for the last couple of decades, you know, really started seeing breakthroughs every 5 years, then down to every year, and then down to every month, and then became weekly. And I said, you know what, this is starting to get overwhelming for me. I can only imagine what it must feel like for all the other learning professionals. And so that led to the launching of The Thinking Effect. And with one goal, which is, how do we as a learning community collaborate, learn together, figure out this whole AI thing so we can not only advance our careers, but we can help advance our corporations that we're working for. So The Thinking Effect, you asked about the name, that actually came from a book I wrote back in the, oh my goodness, now I'm trying to remember how far back that is. It was a while back. And that was really around a lot of my research around mental model simulations, adult learning was all encapsulated in that. And it just seemed like a very appropriate title for this new generation of AI and learning about bringing the human element into it. It's all about the thinking and the effects that we as humans can still have and not needing to feel intimidated or afraid by AI, but really embracing it and realize that there's a lot of value that each of us has. And it does all start with how we think about things.
And I think that's one of the main reasons we enjoy our conversations and your talks and panel discussions so much, because it's very unique to have someone in this space with a neuroscience background who's also at the forefront of AI. So maybe tell us a little bit more about what is happening at The Thinking Effect and how it's being received.
Yeah, it is. It has been absolutely exciting. So I guess it started off a little slow, and then it started gaining momentum. So much so, it actually became overwhelming because I was being asked to speak every week. And probably one of the best things that ever happened was meeting you, because bringing someone with your expertise, and I think you took the thinking to a whole nother level. And obviously, the value that you're bringing to everybody in the learning community through The Thinking Effect has just been absolutely impactful and something that I've truly appreciated and learned from as well. And then most recently, being able to bring on a few other individuals that have really just helping scale it more globally. And so Danielle Wallace joined us, I think, about a month ago. And Eric, and I'm going to butcher his last name, joined us as well in the Netherlands. And so it's great now to have a global footprint with the Thinking Effect.
Yes, and this is Eric van der Graaf, who's joined us exactly, doing the communities of practice. So it's been an amazing journey, and with more and more participants joining into the conversation, joining the communities of practice, it is one of those places where true exchange is taking place about the AI tools and about what instructional designers right at the forefront are doing.
That's right.
And from that, let's move on and talk about your journey in simulations, because that goes back a few years as well. You're also not new to that.
It really does. So as I mentioned, started out as an AI developer, and then that really got me into really understanding the brain and adult learning. And that led to a creation of a early learning management company back in 1995, actually. So we created one of the first learning management companies, and then that led us into learning content management and e-learning and workshops. And so really had the opportunity to be part of a lot of different types of technology and modalities, and really got to a point where I asked myself, I said, you know, we're getting content out there, but I didn't really feel like we were changing behaviors. And that kind of going back to that whole mental models. So it felt like everything we were creating was really consumption-based, but wasn't really challenging people to think about their thinking, become aware of their bias, explore new ways of thinking by practicing and so forth. And so that led to the creation of the Regis Company actually back in 2003. And so probably the fast story around that is the Regis Company became a high-end boutique simulation company. And we worked with Fortune 500s all over the world and building a custom simulation for any aspect of their business, whether it was for leadership development, executive training, sales training, project management, taking products to market, you name it, we built a simulation around it.
Fantastic. And how has this world of simulations progressed since AI has come along? What has the impact been of AI on this crazy world?
Yeah, significant. A few years back, a little bit before all the excitement of AI, we started asking ourselves a question about how do we get simulations, which are extremely powerful in helping change people's mental models and helping them think in different ways and learn new skills faster. How do we democratize that? How do we get it out to every single organization, despite how big their budgets are? How do we get it out to universities? How do we get it out to high school students? And so that really became our vision. And I would say we've been able to accomplish that in two ways. One is built the very first platform. We call this skill practice platform. But more importantly, it was the AI that really has made this platform so accessible to everybody. Without the AI, you're not able to write all the content, write all the characters, write all the storylines in a timely, cost-effective way. And so AI has been truly game-changing. It's changing the entire simulation space. I really do feel not only we at the Regis Company are making a big difference, I think every sim company out there is really going to pave the way of making simulations available to all learners.
You've said it earlier there, you used the word boutique. And because of all the branchings, because of all the scenarios that need to be built, simulations probably used to be only that boutique, because it needed a lot of money to build a really good simulation that people would enjoy and be able to dive into and really have an experience. With AI, that building, that branching, all those elements are now much more accessible. And I think, are we seeing simulations already becoming more mainstream?
I don't know if I would say simulations are becoming mainstream yet. I think there's a lot of interest because everyone is seeing the writing on the wall. AI is quickly replacing e-learning and knowledge management, performance management, micro-learning, pretty much any knowledge level learning. AI is already doing a good job and will continue to do a good job in that space because that's really what it's optimized to do. And so as that starts to happen, I think people are going to start to say, what's next? What's the future of learning? And I think that's where simulation, skill practice learning is really going to become top of mind, because that's something that AI can't yet design. We're getting closer, but it's certainly not there yet.
And can you give listeners maybe a little bit of an idea of what the timescale and the budget would have been previously, and how that has moved on to utilizing AI in terms of timescales and budgets?
Absolutely. We used to have this funny little saying, if you had $500,000 in 5 months, then go to the Regis company to build you a sim. And that's no longer the case. We have now been able, through the use of AI and this new technology called SimGate, been able to get the price point down to equivalent of building e-learning, high-end e-learning. And so not only can we build it at the same price point, we can actually build it even faster than e-learning. So it truly is game-changing.
Fantastic. And we're really seeing these experiences develop, and people sit there and they have to think and work their way through a simulation, whether that's as an individual or even as a small group as part of a workshop, right? We're not talking just digital delivery for the sake of digital delivery. It is a tool in the box that can also be utilized in a workshop. But there seems to still be a trend in L&D where we're focusing more on the content than on the delivery. And for some time now, many have been saying, and I've been saying this as well, that we're expecting there to be a shift more towards the modality of the delivery and away from the content. And still at conferences, there's a lot being shown around content production and content piece production utilizing AI. Where do you see us on that journey from producing content pieces and using AI tools towards a more integrated, personalized journey through AI?
So what I've been saying for probably good about 8 months now is content is no longer king, experiences. And what I mean by that is there are some new technology. One of them is called Rex, that allows someone without a lot of background in instructional design to be able to produce high quality content for a simulation, literally writing the entire storyline, all the characters, all the decision points, write all the branching, pretty much write everything for you. And therefore being able to create content for any topic, for any audience, for any industry within a few hours. And so that's why I've been saying, well, it's not about content then. It's really going to be about the experience. Now, how do people engage with that content? How does that content get them to think about their thinking? How does that content get challenge them to open up their perspective or explore new perspectives? How does that help them improve their decision-making, their critical thinking? How does it help them think more systemic and so forth? So all that is about how do you experience that content, and it's less about the content itself.
And when we're talking experience, this is the opposite end of information transfer theory, right? This isn't just acquiring the knowledge to then be able to read it off again in a test. This is a very different proposal in terms of training and learning and performance improvement, isn't it?
It really is. It's probably the easiest way to describe it. It's all about practicing. And so the idea is, if you're going to learn about leadership and become a better leader, you should practice the types of decisions, the types of interactions that a leader often has to make. You know, so whether you're a new manager going into a new role where you're going to have to be delegating, building up team members, resolving conflict, well, the best way to learn all that is through practice. Now, you can either learn on the job, which takes years, or you can be immersed into a skill practice simulation and practice all those leadership skills. And the same for any other topic, like project management. You know, what's the best way to learn project management? Run multiple simulated projects with different issues, with client meltdowns, with staffing issues, with budget overruns, and be able to practice making decisions and seeing if you can deliver, you know, high quality projects on time and on budget.
Which is exactly what we've always said in the theory of learning, that we need to practice, we need to be contextual when we learn, and we need to experience that. In terms of workshops I mentioned earlier, bringing together learning experiences in the virtual world together with workshops and in-person experiences, so to speak, utilizing all the tools in the box, as we tend to say, where do you see your clients moving, and how do you see expectations developing on the client side? Obviously, you've thought this through very much from the provider side, and, sure. and you've lived simulations for decades now. But where do you see the client perspective moving towards?
Earlier on, you were mentioning modalities, and I think we've really thought through that, where, you know, the first modality was around self-guided, you know, where someone could just go through a simulation on their own and getting all the feedback. The thing that really took off for us was online virtual team-based experiences. So imagine hundreds of people through a Zoom call, breaking up into teams and having all the teams making decisions, competing, seeing all the results roll up to leaderboards and all of that. So we were able to accomplish that. And now what we're seeing is this interest of moving back into the classroom or into events. And so taking now that same technology and bringing it into, let's say, a large event. Let's say now you're at a hotel, you have thousands of participants there in the hotel, and now you can have people broken up into different rooms throughout the hotel within teams. And so they're learning from one another. They're learning from different teams. They're seeing all the results of all the thousand individuals roll up to different leaderboards and having all the analytics. And so we're seeing a lot of excitement about really flipping the entire classroom. You know, that's been a kind of a buzzword for a long time, but now it's a reality where instead of bringing people together and lecturing through PowerPoints in a workshop, you're now bringing people together where they're experiencing something together, learning together, capturing all that data, getting personalized feedback in addition to team-based feedback.
What I really like there is how the experience, the practice, the contextualization is taking place. When we look at the learning vendor market generally, we also see a lot of other vendors out there. And I sometimes have the feeling that the adaptive learning, the conversational pieces, the simulations, I sometimes get the impression we're already starting to see a merging thereof into products that can almost bring together several different aspects, which we previously would have considered are from different providers that we have to bring in-house.
Yeah.
What are your views on this market changing, and where do you see you from the simulations end start to branch out into those other areas that were previously not the area of simulations?
Yeah, sure. This is another area that AI is really game changing. We've talked about personalized learning for quite a while, or adaptive learning for a long, long time. But that really meant that you're kind of building a lot of rules. You're looking at some data points, and then based on that, you're maybe taking people down some different predefined branches and so forth. So it certainly had some feeling of adapting, and it certainly had an element of personalization. But now what we're already able to demonstrate is something completely different, where it truly is fully personalized, or completely personalized and completely dynamic. And what I mean by that is that AI is becoming aware of the entire simulation storyline and content and all the decisions. And because of its awareness of all the characters and decisions, when you're making decisions in there, it can analyze and provide you very personal feedback. You made this decision in round one, and then this one in round two, and you changed your mind over here, and this is why you're getting the score you're getting, and so on. So that's very personal. But then it's also able to adapt and saying, okay, well, I'm going to take you, Marcus, down this path because you obviously have been able to demonstrate that proficiency, where Mike is struggling in this area, and I'm going to take him down this other path. And so the AI is now truly taking the whole concept of branching to a whole nother level, because instead of hard-coded branching, you can now have truly dynamic branching.
And would that branching also possibly work on the fly? What are we seeing in the market
in terms of... It's getting close, yes.
Right.
Yeah, it's
Pushing the boundaries a little bit still.
it's pushing the boundaries. I would say by the end of this year, it's a done deal. And the only reason I can say that with such confidence is because we're already seeing it done today. So it's there. It just needs maturity. It needs, a little bit more work, but it's not far off, and it truly blows your mind. It's both exciting and a little bit freaky.
Those are things we can look forward to when we look at conferences further down the line this year, where a lot of cool stuff I think is going to hit the vendor floor for sure,
Absolutely.
and we'll see a lot of exciting developments for learners. When you look forward generally around L&D and training and changing the way people think, where are the exciting things for you in the future, generally in our sector? What excites you as the next steps?
Well, I think there's a few things. I think it's really going to change how we think about designing, developing, deploying learning in general. I'm already seeing that. With AI, it's cutting design cost down and development costs, and we've seen an upwards of 90%. It's already cutting how you work with subject matter experts and the time that's needed to do reviews because it can build content so quickly and then incorporate changes. Another exciting area is how you can use it for asset creation. So being able to build avatars and videos and animations and voiceovers and closed caption and be able to make everything accessible in different languages. Those things used to be expensive. And now you can knock out an entire video that used to cost you 4 to 6 grand. You can knock it out in an hour with some of the new tools. And so those things I think are all exciting. And the reason it's exciting, it's not necessarily because of all the cost cutting and efficiencies, is because I really think it's going to free us up to do what we love as learning professionals. We love making a difference in someone's life. We love being able to help someone feel more confident in their job. We love being able to help someone learn new skills to be able to move up in their career or be able to move sideways in their career. And that really takes a different type of learning experience. But if we're busy building content and building assets, we don't have time to think through an impactful experience. And so with all these new tools, I really feel it's going to free us up to do what we really love, which is changing the hearts and minds of learners.
And I've seen you talk about this a number of times when it comes to the personas in and around L&D and how they are changing. Can you share a little bit about that with the listeners?
Yeah, so I think about the personas in kind of three areas. One is the learner and how AI and some of this new skill practice learning is going to really change their life. One of the things we hear from learners when we interview them is they're tired of big catalogs. They're tired of consumption, like being sent to another e-learning, and so forth, because they're seeing the writing on the wall where, why not just use a chatbot to get that information when you need it, right? And so what they're asking for is help me learn new skills faster and help me apply what I learned back to the job so people can see the value that I'm bringing. Because in the back of their mind, they're a little bit worried about AI replacing and automating some of their job tasks. So they're thinking about how do I learn new skills faster? So that I think is really important is around, I call it speed of performance. How do you help a learner learn new skills that they can apply back to the job faster? From a designer perspective, the goal there is leveraging AI to completely rethink the entire design experience. So not only being able to build content faster, but build assets faster, but to be able to assemble them, all those assets, into a more simulated practice-based experience. Again, like that used to take so long, months, and was so complicated and required a whole different way of thinking about instructional design. Well, now with some of the AI tools and AI coaches, this stuff is actually becoming really pretty easy. I mean, I've seen people with very little instructional design expertise be able to build out a sim now. So it's already happening. So that's the designer persona. And the stakeholder persona, one of the things that we've seen that's top of mind for them is they know as a learning leader that their business is going to be impacted by AI. And they know their executive team is saying, we need to think about how do we make our supply chain more efficient? How do we automate things so we can compete? How do we make our customer service more empathic and, you know, more responsive and so forth? So they're looking for AI to do all that. It's all about kind of cutting costs. So learning leaders have to be thinking about that too. Like if they're the best learning leader is going to be proactive and bring to the business and say, listen, I can start to cut our design and development costs and our asset creation costs by 50%, 75%. And so that's going to look really good for the L&D department. So I think stakeholders are definitely thinking about that. And part two is the mindsets that the L&D community are going to need to adopt. And so that's this whole idea about how do you help learning professionals not sit on the sideline, not be order takers, but truly engage in experiments to help make things more efficient and make learning more impactful.
And it is the people function. It is the learning, training, talent, and performance people who need to spearhead this within organizations, unless the organization is just selling software as a service and doesn't employ a lot of people. It is still the people doing the job. It is not just that the world in L&D is changing, it's that everyone's world is changing. Way everyone is doing their job is changing. And we even see debates about what skills might be the skills of the future, always hotly debated because there's a lot of opinions around about that. But that's where the training function and learning and development, I think, will sit in a key position in a successful business to spearhead this change and to bring everyone along for the ride. Mm-hmm. Because it's not as much top down as you would expect if it was a pure technology. This is more an overall transformation that we're seeing. And I think bringing the individuals along and building their skills from the bottom in an organization is a second movement that will be really key for the success here. And that's where I think we'll see a lot happening this year as bigger organizations realize this and start bringing their people along, at least in the companies that want to stay successful. How are you seeing that when you speak to your clients and partners? How is that developing?
You mean how are they thinking about rolling out AI throughout the organization and the impacts that it's having?
Yeah.
Surprisingly, it's slow. And I'm actually kind of shocked by how organizations are looking a little bit like they're deer in the headlights right now because of some of the issues that happened, you know, back last year about, you know, people gaining access to ChatGPT and then posting organizational content, which then became public. And so that then led to a lot of privacy types of issues, InfoSec issues.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, this whole thing about, hey, I want you to quickly learn about all this AI and then a hard stop. Everyone just stop. And then like, okay, everyone start up a little bit, but be really slow. And so it's a stop, start, continue type of thing. I think that's really impacting a lot of people at different levels. They're not sure what. And so definitely seeing the impacts that that's really having on organizations. Now, the organizations that are stepping back and thinking about building kind of an AI strategy, and they're thinking about how to do experiments. They're thinking about, you know, plausible futures of what it could look like if they brought in AI to their organization. Those organizations seem to be adopting AI a little more quickly, a lot more purposefully. And I think they're going to be the ones that might have an advantage in the future because they're already, you know, taking advantage of the value of AI. And then a lot of other groups are going to be doing catch up.
And I think you've mentioned several aspects there that are really crucial. One is, of course, that we've got this start-stop feeling. An employee is feeling a lot of change in pace. There's a lot of pivots happening. A lot is new. And then despite vision coming along, we know that there are many unknowns, even in the near future. We don't know what the next big release will be like from one of the big AI companies. We don't know what exact impact that will have. So the general feeling of being employed and doing the job is changing drastically. That is a mindset shift in itself. And then I also feel there will be a much more fierce competition, I think, for talent out there. Those employees that can see that there are opportunities to reskill and upskill in organization who are providing the training in forward-looking and modern organizations, I think those will have a much larger pool. We often talk about this Gen Z, and I'm not really one of those who buy into that, because the research is quite clear saying the whole workforce is changing. It's not one generation that is having
not
a specific
anymore.
Role.
And every single generation is and will be impacted by AI and starting this year and accelerating over the next few years.
And I think that's where these programs will also become almost part of the package for an employee, right? Having access to development programs that are cutting edge, that utilize both the digital as well as the non-digital world. We mentioned it earlier with workshops that utilize digital tools. I think those things will play a more and more key role in drawing personnel in, no?
Yeah, I think so, and I hope so. I definitely think so, because organizations are going to need to differentiate themselves. And if they can say, hey, we're an organization that's embracing AI responsibly, we know it's going to continue to automate jobs, but that's okay, because we also got some of the best training available that's going to allow you to learn new skills, both in, you know, reskilling and upskilling into new jobs as we start to bring in the AI. And I think that's going to make people feel a little more comfortable about organizations, or a little more forward thinking about their learning.
This is a fantastic conversation, Mike. I think we could keep going on for quite some time. But as we're drawing this to a close, how do you keep yourself up to date? What are sort of your go-to inspirations and sources that you use to keep yourself up to date? And maybe that can help our listeners also tap into those resources.
Yeah, so I do subscribe to several podcasts, AI podcasts, actually outside the L&D community. So this is all kind of the podcasts that are talking about all the breakthroughs that are happening every week, the potential impacts of these breakthroughs. So that's helps me keep more of a systemic perspective of the advancements of AI and how organizations are thinking about it. And then from an L&D perspective, obviously the Thinking Effect is not only something that I'm trying to do to help others, but as others are contributing, it's helping me grow too. So it really is truly a community. And so as people are posting questions, as they're challenging us with some of their own new ideas and technologies, as they're finding resources, I'm learning from everybody now as well. And I think that's the only way that any of us are going to truly grow, because even though I have an AI background, I feel overwhelmed. I feel like it's a daunting task sometimes. And so the best feeling is knowing that I'm part of a community that's willing to learn and grow together.
Isn't it funny that in all the fear we have around AI, one of the lessons is teaching us is to keep up to date and to stay on top of this, that we need our friends, we need our communities of practice, and we need other humans.
We need them more than ever. Yeah, absolutely.
To exchange thoughts, talk about challenges, solve problems together. The community is suddenly rising in importance. Very funny. Of course, we'll have the show notes for you, where we'll point you to the Thinking Effect, to the Regis company, to Mike's profile. So you'll be able to see all of that in the show notes and check out what Mike is doing further there, and maybe on LinkedIn and other social media platforms, follow Mike and see what's happening in the simulation world. But from my angle, that's been a wonderful conversation. Thank you very much, Mike. I've really enjoyed this conversation.
I always enjoy our conversations. So me too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And to everyone, we'll see you next time.